Dive into the world of dance at the Victorian College of the Arts. Their program offers a unique blend of artistry, performance, and a choreographic practice within an inclusive environment. As an undergraduate student, you explore contemporary dance, physical theatre, ballet, urban dance, and more in a collaborative studio lab setting. At honors level, specialize in performance skills, choreographic practice, or dance research. Plus, benefit from the proximity of local choreographers and companies including Philip Adams, Stephanie Lay Company, Lucy Guerin, Chunky Move, and Dance House. Through professional placements, their students have the opportunity to develop pathways for their future careers through these relationships and networks. Consider a variety of bachelor, master's, and even doctorate programs available according to your needs. Join them and unleash your artistic potential at the Victorian College of the Arts. Learn more through the link in the descriptions below.
Sometimes as a photographer, it's upsetting to see when you shoot a photo, it looks amazing, and then it's posted with a horrible filter on social media. Yeah. I mean, if someone asks me to do more retouching than what I do, I'm happy to do that.
Hello and welcome to The Background Dancer. I'm your host, Jason Yup, and thank you for joining me with our community of passionate dance contributors from around the world and across the different fields. In this weekly podcast, I offer educational conversations and insightful tips to help you better understand all things offstage about this curious art form. This episode, I discuss dance photography, fashion, and creative portraiture with London-based photographer Sabina Biro. Sabina Biro, thank you for being here today, and a huge welcome to the Background Dancer podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's nice to meet you finally.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's such a pleasure to finally meet you. And before I start every episode, I usually tell the audience, the listeners over on across the whole world of how I met my guest. And for you, it was very simple. I was doing my research on Instagram regarding dance photography, dance modeling, dance fashion. And that is really what today's episode will be about. It's about dance fashion, and it's something that I'm not mostly involved with, but have always had this curiosity with regards to how people get into this industry, because it is such a huge industry. So to begin with, could you walk us through your journey, your transition into dance photography?
Yes, sure. Basically, photography as a journey started about 7 years ago when I decided to learn photography at London School of Photography. I was not sure whether I wanted to do it professionally or not. I had no real plans, but I was very interested and motivated and inspired by some photographers and photography out there on social media. After a while, I was still not sure what kind of area I should focus on if I wanted to do more. So I was just doing a lot of portraits, landscapes, some kind of product photography for my own entertainment, but nothing really concrete. And then 4 years later, in 2018, it was a really, really interesting time when I thought about dance photography, because I was, I remember we were chatting with my ballet teacher, Sander Blomat, before a ballet class, and he's very active on social media, and he was just talking about photo shoots, and he said, oh, I need to arrange more photo shoots for fresh content. And I just said jokingly, oh, well, you know, I studied photography, although I never really thought about doing dance photography. And he said, oh, well, anytime you want to practice, you know, I'm here, I'm very happy to work with you. And It was kind of a joke, but somehow we agreed that I would bring my camera the following weekend. I did. We had a shoot. Photos came out extremely well. And I was just telling myself, okay, why haven't I thought about dance photography before? I knew that this area existed, and I've been dancing since I was a child, although not professionally, but I still do. So why didn't I put two and two together? And this is how it started. So I think without Xander, I wouldn't even have tried going into it. And since that moment, since he actually pushed me into setting up my photography account on Instagram, my main photo account, Sabina Biro Photo, things have started taking up really, really quickly. And I just realized that I found my real passion.
Well, it's beautiful because even for my case, the way I got into dance, I started dance at a very late age, as I think I was about 16 years old. And it was also kind of like an accidental thing, right? And mm-hmm. another thing I also really liked about your journey is the fact that you said your teacher invited you to experiment with dance. And I think we're probably one of the most experimentally, you know, based communities in the world, where people just want to experiment with all the things that we do. So one of the most interesting things I feel about dance photography is that it's not necessarily for everyone, but what do you think and who do you think that dance photography is most suitable for?
I think people have to be extremely creative to do dance photography, and they have to be able to pay attention to details. I think as a dancer myself, I have a much easier job photographing other dancers because I know the movements, I know the jumps, even when I watch a choreography. I can guess based on, especially if it's a classical choreography, I can guess based on the linking steps when a jump is going to come. It's easier to capture the moment when you know what to expect, and most importantly, you know what it's supposed to look like. If I talk about classical ballet. But similarly, sometimes you just need to let go. You have to be willing to work outside of the box and encourage dancers to try different things. And yes, if it's audition photos, you don't have any freedom. So you have to hit certain poses and that's it. But if it's a creative session, you need to be able to encourage your dancers without putting pressure on them to forget about normal. Because normal can be boring, and just do something, try different things, shoot from a different angle, those kind of things. So I think, in short, I would say that a good dance photographer has a good understanding of dance and can bring out the best of the dancers without putting them under pressure. But also understands when the dancer is not comfortable with the end result of the picture. Because you as a dancer, probably you are the best to, and the first person to agree that dancers are highly sensitive of the pictures they show and push out onto social media. And I think it's very, very important that a photographer listens to them when they say, no, this picture is not good enough. It's not a criticism to the photographer. It's a self-criticism. And you have to understand, I think for some photographers, it's really difficult to understand that dancers have a very different standards. Unless it's perfect, it's just not good enough. So you can't brush aside their concerns and say, no, that looks amazing. Because even if it does, you need to make sure that they have another option and another try to do it again, just to perfect it until they get happy with that. So you have to have this understanding of the dance psychology in a way.
Hey, Jason here with a special message for you to help and continue serving our beloved performing arts community. So here's what you can do. Share this with one person you believe with this episode can benefit and attach a personal note explaining why. This way, you are not only helping me grow this show, but also adding value to those you truly care about. Massive appreciation, as it means the world to me. And let's get right back to the show. Hey, thanks for bringing that up, because I also hail from the psychology background. Before I went into dance, that was my background. And one of the most misguided concepts about dancers is the word narcissism.
Oh, yes.
So it's really interesting because, like, people always talk about narcissism as dancers, but I prefer to use the word self-conscious and maybe sensitive, like you've just put it. So thank God for that. Like, thank you for saying that. And also, we're going to talk a little bit about your variety of catalogs, your portfolio. You've mentioned that you do all kinds of stuff, like audition, you know, you do performances, you do even art projects. So my question to you is, which one is your favorite and why is that?
Oh, that's probably the most difficult question ever. And sometimes I ask myself, and I'm honestly unable to answer. I would say that whatever I work on at the moment, normally that's my favorite. And I love this feeling because it just shows that I'm passionate about all of these things. What I really started enjoying, and I would say that in a way, that's my favorite, is doing dance photography with children, because that's a very different way of shooting dance pictures compared to working with experienced professionals who basically know how to pose, what to do. Sometimes you don't have to give them any guidance, and even if you don't have a dance background, you know, they know everything, so you almost just have to click the button, which is not strictly true, because photography is just much more complex than that. But I think we all agree that working with professionals who have photoshoot experience is very easy compared to working with an age range where they are really young, they don't have the experience, that technique is just not the same as the professional dancers. And you kind of have to work with them and encourage them without ruining their self-confidence in a way, because when you see that a photo is good, but it could be better, you have to ask them to repeat the movement without making them feel that they are not good enough. And you also need to understand when to let go, and you know that probably the next try would be perfect, but you just reach the point when if you ask them to do it again, they will get upset. So let's just move on to the next one. Yeah. So I feel that working with young dancers is very rewarding, because you create a connection, you guide them. And I think it really helps that I'm quite interested in psychology as well. And I find it very important to connect with the people I work with. And I've been also studying to become an IDTA qualified teacher. Unfortunately, COVID just stopped my finishing sessions before my exams, yeah. But it doesn't take away the knowledge. And sometimes it's very useful to correct positions or give ideas to dancers, or even to assess where they are in their dance training. Sorry, I know I'm talking a lot, but one of the critical examples when people want to shoot on point and you see immediately whether they are strong enough to be on point without support. And if you feel that they are not, how do you tell them without hurting them, or what kind of positions you come up with that are safe? I feel that there's an age group between very, very young until probably mid to late teens when dance photography involves a whole range of additional things you need to be mindful of and you need to work with. Even if you don't know the dancers well, you have to connect with them very quickly to find a way how you give this feedback to them without causing any damage. Because I think that age range is extremely sensitive. And although they are very used to corrections in their classes, But corrections coming from a photographer is a completely different subject. They may not really enjoy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think for these extra challenges these days, that's my favorite area at the moment.
Well, collaboration is key, and coaching is also collaboration. Collaboration is kind of coaching, right? So it's really beautiful that you've already gone to one end of the spectrum. And this is something that I also wanted to bring up, which is the demographic issue, right? Like, you're working with professionals who are adults most of the time, or teenagers, emerging superstars. And then you have on the other end, like, kids superstars, children superstars who are going to be superstars at some point, but are already involved within the industry to this capacity. Now, I want to add on to that a little bit. And the other thing that is also very broad, just like your catalog and your portfolio, it really helps broaden people's perspective, is the idea or the issue of social cultural differences, right? You've worked with a number of different models, from English to Belgian to even Asian, which I'm very, very delighted to know. So what are some of the challenges maybe there in terms of working with these different cultures? And when I say cultures, it could be linguistic, it could be, most of all, like, physically, bodily, right? That has definitely got to do with photography.
Oh, yes. It's an interesting question. And I think it's really difficult to put into words, but I'm very used to working with people from different cultures. Apart from photography, I still you will be surprised, I still have a banking job. I work in compliance, and even when I started working, I've always worked in multinational companies. So for me, working with different cultures in terms of behavior and communication is very, very natural. However, as you said, there are different aspects in terms of physical appearance, and also I think communication and collaboration is very different. So I worked with a number of younger, I would say, children around the age of 10, who were naturally quite shy because of their cultural background, and it's a challenge to have them feel comfortable, make them feel comfortable, and ask them what kind of positions they want to do, because normally they are asked to think about certain positions before they come to the shoot. It's always good to have an idea, and some of these younger dancers, especially from different cultures, you can see that they have ideas, but they are too shy to say. And trying to have them say what they want to do without putting pressure and dismissing their shyness, I think it's a very challenge. And also from a body perspective, even if you don't think about different races, for example, but you know, you shoot differently when you work with a tall dancer versus a shorter dancer, or you work differently with someone who is very, very thin versus someone who is more like what I call normal, like real life body type. Yes, that's all sorts of different topics are triggering in my head, because that's another issue when someone has body image issues, either because they feel they are so thin or so big, as they say, or not flexible enough or not strong enough. I think it's not even cultural. It's just depends on the individual that you also need to manage as a good photographer, as an empathic photographer. You have to manage this. You have to make them feel good in their skin, but you can't just dismiss their concerns. Even if you feel that, I mean, most typical is when I hear from dancers that they are too big. I mean, they are not, but I know because we have some kind of a body image idea of dancing, and I know where they come from. So I can't really say, oh no, you are silly. because some people feel that, you know, I'm just not taking seriously their concern. So it's another interesting conversation, just to throw it in the mix with the cultures.
I'm speaking with Sabina Biru, a London-based dance photographer who has been working with young dancers and aspiring professionals as well as fashion models alike. Some of her work include black and white portraits, CV and audition studio shots, as well as theater performance shoots. Among the many companies that she currently works with include the Wright International Arts Agency, as well as the London Ballet Company. For this week's special shoutouts, we hear from Megan Castro, who was also a guest here on the show between episodes 10 and 11. And she says, the background dancer puts dance into context of the reality of the world we live in, instead of keeping it in this dance world bubble, helping dancers and others find a connection between the two. Wow, thank you so much, Megan Castro. Really appreciate that. And do definitely go and listen to her episodes 10 and 11, The Movement Journalist, as she gives you a real lowdown of how to archive dance. Thank you once again so much for listening to this week's special shoutouts. Yeah, what I love to talk most about with regards to social cultural differences is the fact that you can name as many ethnicities or cultural tendencies as you want. However, you will always still find some universal pattern there. Like, everybody usually has at least one universal problem that they can share with the rest of the world, you know. So that's also really nice that, you know, despite working with different cultures, you've actually faced quite similar problems. And I think that's a dance photographer's problem or a dance photographer's challenge, let's say. So let's talk a little bit about some of the agencies that you've worked with as well. One of them I know is the Wright International Arts Agency. And I just wanted to know, how much of a difference is there when you work with solo artists who are freelance artists themselves, like dancers, for example, compared to working with an actual agency that provides these talents?
It's quite different because with working with an agency is it's a bit more restrictive in a way, because you need to know what they want. So, you know, I may want to shoot creative photos, but if they need audition portraits, then they need audition portraits. But I find working with Wright International Arts is such a joy, because they are associated with the London Ballet Company, and I have been working with them for a few years already. And I think that we work really well together. They like the fact that as a dancer myself, I kind of capture the positions and the jumps and everything quite quickly. And they don't have to ask the children to try everything 100 times. And also, I think what I feel is that even though they direct the dancers for posing, but when I have an idea, they listen, especially when we have a long day of shooting with multiple dancers, because these are a bit more hectic in a way, these shooting days working with an agency. You don't have as much time to get to know the dancer, to work with them, to bring out the best of them. Because when I work with individual dancers, I don't have time limits on my shoots. I don't do mini shoots, because I want to connect, and I would just hate to stop a photo shoot just because time is up when you see that the dancer has just started getting into it. So I never limit my time. Even if we agree on a certain time, I never watch the clock. With an agency shoot, it's different, because you kind of have to keep to the schedule, because lots of dancers travel from all sorts of different places in the UK to come to London on the day for the photo shoot. They have a slot in the timetable, so you can't really slip the timetable, because others may be impacted. Maybe they will miss their last train to get home. So it's a bit more of a pressure to make sure that we are just done really quickly, but still capture the best photos that's possible. So I think it's that's the biggest difference. But it all depends on what agency you work with, because Sophie and Bethany from Rights International Arts, they are so amazing in guiding the young dancers, and they know their abilities. So I think we work really well together as a team. It's no longer stressful to keep the time, because I kind of got a rhythm as to how it's going to go.
Yeah, I really appreciate the fact that, just like you, a lot of these people who work at these agencies were former dancers themselves, and they should understand what a dancer thinks like and how a dancer would maybe prefer a photo shoot session to go. And that's a really great way to sort of segue into my next question, which is the other thing that you do, which is fashion photography, right? Lifestyle photography, boudoir photography. So the way I would go about this question is, can you help us name one similarity and then one difference between dance photography and commercial fashion photography?
Oh, I think a similarity is creativity. I mean, creativity and collaboration, basically. So you, with all these types of different shoots, you have to connect with your model. I mean, for me, it's impossible to do it without a connection. And just a side remark, this is why I don't do virtual shoots. I know lots of photographers do it, and they are amazing. I just like the personal connection, to read the smallest change in their facial expression. So I think it's pretty similar. If you think about it, for example, fashion models, they are just as sensitive and perfectionist as dancers. Okay, maybe they are not concerned about how high their arabesques are, but they are concerned about how they look, what their facial expression is, how thin or how curvy they look, how the dress falls on their body, everything. So it's very, very similar, that there's lots of sensitivity around what the photos look like. And it's exactly the same, although concerns are different, but it's exactly the same, that you have to take it seriously, but you have to explain to them when a photo is really good that, they have nothing to worry about. You can't really say that, yeah, I agree, it really looks awful. I mean, normally it doesn't, but, it's an extreme example.
I've heard that one before, yeah.
Yes. No, I mean, let's face it, just a sidetrack. I mean, sometimes, I'm not, I'm a human being. Sometimes I don't catch the right moment, or the photo is a bit out of focus or something. I do tell the dancers and the models if it's my fault. I mean, when I look at the photo, I know immediately whether it was me or not. So sometimes when they look at the photo and I see that it's not good, I say immediately, well, that was my fault. So let's just try it again. I think sometimes they appreciate that. So that's the similarity. Difference is, I would say that for fashion and lifestyle photography, depending on who you work with, sometimes it's very restrictive. Sometimes you get mood boards, very clear ideas. And depending on the project, sometimes there's room for ideas and creativity, and usually they come out really, really well. While with other projects, it's very strict. You have to create certain things and that's it. I mean, I say it as if it was easy. Of course, it's not. But there's less chance for collaborating in a creative way, I think, in fashion and lifestyle. Now, with dance photography, if you shoot audition photos, that's a bit similar because, as you know, there are certain positions you have to shoot, and you can't really tell them to, I don't know if I mentioned arabesque, if they have to do a first arabesque or a second arabesque, you can't ask them to do a weird arm position just to make it look more interesting, because that's not the way how audition shoots go. So, yes.
Oh, that's really fascinating. I've always kind of studied the differences between, like, these two massive industries, right? Fashion and then most importantly, the crossover, I think, is what really interests me in that sense. And I always feel like dancers can be great models, absolutely, fashion models, and fashion models can also can be great contributors to dance. But you've already mentioned this just now with how the collaborative process maybe goes on with a dancer, that you're just like everyone else, a human being, and you make mistakes. And one of the things that I have a real interest in terms of photography itself is very much like podcasting, where there's a lot of post-production that goes into the final product, right? And I kind of want to package this question as like the issue between skill and technology. Now, dancers don't have a lot to work with because that is the beauty of the art form. It's the body.
Yes.
However, in photography, you have loads of technology to work with, and podcasting is the same thing. So I really wanted to ask you about this, like how much skill really has to go into photography? How much editing goes into photography for us to actually interpret the final work?
I think it depends on the photographers. Some photographers prefer to shoot in a way that it minimizes the post-production work. And if it's not something creative where you need to add special effects or something, then that's my preference as well. Purely because life is busy. I don't want to spend ages on post-production when, you know, by changing the settings when I shoot can save time. I think most of my photography mentors said that what you can achieve in camera, you should, because, you know, it's otherwise it's just lots of waste of time. And some people are amazing in post-production work, but it also requires lots of skill to fix certain issues. But it depends. So with fashion photography, for example, you have to do a lot of post-production work, retouching, even though the models look amazing. And I can say that one of the models I work with regularly, who is also a fashion designer, whenever I shoot with her, I mean, her makeup is always flawless. Her hair is flawless. I mean, it's absolutely perfect. But you still have to do some retouching because that's how fashion photos are expected to look. And you can see whether a photo was retouched or not and whether it has the unique, like, industry standard look in a way. While with ballet dancers, I try to avoid doing too much retouching, unless they specifically ask me to do more, because I think it's really not good if we send the message that they need lots of retouching to look good enough. I think that's a very dangerous thing to do. I never edit the dancers' bodies at all. I think that's really wrong, and I don't, you know, you could lift their like higher in post-production. I don't do that. I think I know most dance photographers don't do that either. Maybe some do because it's, you know, there's technology out there to do that. I'm very careful not to do that. Iron out like creases of the ballet skirt, for example, because it doesn't matter even if you iron it out for the shoot. Sometimes, especially with the long floaty skirt, sometimes you see some creases. I do smoothen it out. Those kind of things I do, or lift shadows on faces just to make sure that the dancer's face is visible. By default, I don't like doing too much retouching for dancers, unless they ask me to, because again, I think it's very dangerous and it can be very damaging. I think this is why don't know whether I should say this or not, but this is why it's sometimes as a photographer, it's upsetting to see when you shoot a photo, it looks amazing, and then it's posted with a horrible filter on social media.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if someone asks me to do more retouching than what I do, I'm happy to do that, because at the end of the day, these are their photos. They have to be happy with them. Yes, I wish, not the dancers I work with, but I know that lots of people just throw on a weird filter when they post the photos. And I always feel that you should have just asked the photographer to do it nicely, to do more retouching or changes, and then it would look better. But that's just a side remark.
No, thank you for that. Like, I know it's not a technical question anymore. It's not a technological issue anymore. It's much more of an ethical issue. And that is something that we deal a lot with within the dance industry, right? There are a lot of tight ropes, we say, that we have to walk. There are a lot of very, very sensitive issues that we have to grapple with. And I think that's the beauty of having crossovers with different industries, that you can learn from each other. And I think that you have done that really well. So thank you for bringing that up. I think that really helps us feel much more comfortable working with more dance photographers just like you. And I think this also helps segue to the next question, because is that maybe one of the more personal struggles that you're dealing with regards to the dance industry? Or do you have maybe another one that's much more personal? It's a little bit more of a struggle. What is a personal challenge that you have within the industry that you feel could really, really improve right now or into its the future? Hey everyone, if you're like me and prioritize online privacy and security, you're going to love NordVPN. Not only does NordVPN safeguard your internet connection and protect your personal data from hackers and snoopers, but it also offers an amazing advantage: seamless access to geo-blocked content on platforms like Netflix. With NordVPN, you can browse the web with peace of mind and enjoy your favorite shows and movies from anywhere in the world. Plus, their user-friendly interface makes it easy for anyone to stay protected online. And here's the best part. NordVPN offers a 30-day money-back guarantee, so you can try it risk-free. Trust me, I've been using this for 2 years now, and it has totally changed my life. What's more, you can get the basic plan for as low as $5 a month. By signing up through the referral link below, you not only support your online peace of mind, but also help me and the continuity of this show. So, sign up for NordVPN today, and let's serve smarter and safer together.
I think one of the things is that there are lots of photographers out there, and I would say competition is very big, and it's not really a fair competition in a way. It's really difficult to say without trying to be critical. I do have my own personal challenges. Like every time I shoot and I share the photos with my model, it doesn't matter who that person is, whether it's a 6-year-old and her parents or a grown-up professional, I'm always nervous because I want the photos to be perfect. I'm an absolute perfectionist. And even though normally I just absolutely love the photos, I'm very nervous as to what kind of feedback I get. And I still have the butterflies in my stomach every time when I shoot. I think the big challenge in the industry is that I think there are lots of photographers doing dance photography who don't really know much about dance. And some of them do it in a way that they use dancers as models for fashion, for example, and these are amazing fashion photos. And very, very top quality professional photos. And there are photographers who simply say that, well, you know, I'm only working with professional dancers or advanced dancers, so don't come to me, because that's easier to shoot with them. And then there are the photographers who maybe they just start to build out their portfolio. They can't really pick and choose who they work with, and some dance photos end up being published on social media that are really not good quality. But I think for professional photographers, it's difficult because there are so many photographers or beginner kind of photographers who just started to build their portfolio who always want to shoot for free. And whatever the quality, they just get lots of interactions with dancers and lots of work. So I think it just kind of tends to go in a way that these days no one really wants to pay for photography because they can get it for free. Mm. So it was a very convoluted way of getting to that point. But but that's the point. I think they can get it for free. Lots of people having a good camera, maybe not the photography training, I mean, let's face it. I mean, some of them have a natural skill and they can take amazing photos. But those who have paid a fortune on learning these skills, on their equipment, maybe setting up a studio, learning post-production, everything, sometimes they just can't compete because everything is free out there. So I think, one of the many challenges as a photographer, this is really, really a big challenge.
Hey, have you ever felt frustrated, undecided, and most of all, curious about what goes on the other side of the river with regards to your career? Well, look no further than Career Crossroads, hosted by Jonathan Clayton. The Career Crossroads podcast covers a whole host of topics and diverse individuals who have undergone even more diverse career transitions throughout their lives, from biomedical sciences to entrepreneurship to marketing to hockey broadcasting. Whatever you have in mind, they have the lot here. So if you are in the process of rediscovering your own professional trajectory and just need that little bit of empowerment to take the next step, hop on over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite shows and give the Career Crossroads podcast a listen to. And once you're there, tell them that Jason sent you. I'm pretty sure he'll be really appreciative of it. Now, I often talk about the democratization of many skills in many sectors within many industries in this world. And although I really support that, this democratization is autonomization of skill, we also are very aware that there are a lot of problems that come with it. And you've just mentioned a couple of them. Yeah, like anyone can be a photographer, anyone can be a dancer. But I think it's really nice that we still go and investigate the differences, the nuances, and really try to distinguish skill compared to just, you know, technology and how they can help us. Technology shouldn't be, let's say, the natural choice. It should be the enhancement to our natural skills. I think that's one way to put it. So to maybe also put a little bit of hope on the industry, despite all of that, which I think is really important, what still makes dance photography a favorable career path for either non-dancers or even dancers themselves?
I think the beauty of the images. I think lots of people who are, because I would say that I'm a bit biased because I just love dance and dancers, so and I dance myself, so I think I'm a bit biased here. But even when I talk to people who don't know anything about dance and they would never go to the Royal Opera to watch a ballet because they find it difficult to understand, they all love looking at dance photography pictures. I think it's one of the photography specialties where if people look at the photo, even if they are not interested in dance, normally they find these photos extremely beautiful or creative or fun or unusual. It triggers lots of emotions. So I think these photos are very, very popular in general. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why photographers like going into it, because everyone, like every photographer, if they imagine a ballerina wearing point shoes and tutu skirts, they all want those ballerinas on their pictures. Mm-hmm. And I think that's amazing. It gives, or it should give, such an amazing opportunity for dancers to work as models as well, either for commercial work or just for any other photography work photographers want to shoot. It should give dancers opportunity to be able to do this as a professional and get paid for modeling. And I do pay some of my models, depending on, I do photography in collaboration. I do pay some of my, especially professional dancer models, you know, if that's how they work. I don't try to convince them to do it in collaboration. I mean, you know, they need to have the income as well. And of course, people like individuals pay me for taking photos. And I think that's nice to have this balance. So Yes, I think this is why photography is popular, is because they look beautiful, and lots of photographers, that's why they want to do that, and especially previous dancers, because they have the skill and the vision of taking amazing dance photos. But yes, I think it's just an opportunity for dancers as well to go into as a second career, and lots of people realize that. So just linking back to the previous concern about lots of free work out there, which, as I said, I do collaboration as well. No issues with that. But it's difficult from a dancer's perspective as well. I'm friends with lots of professional dancers, and some of them told me that they don't even shoot with photographers unless they get paid. They have the modeling fee, because lots of photographers just think that they just want to work for free and get the exposure and things like that. But that's not how this works. But I think it's amazing to see this linkage between photography and dancers being built, and this area becoming more and more popular.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think that one of the ways, there are many ways, but one of the more maybe effective ways to drive this industry forward is a lot more collaboration and a lot more respect for each other's like training and work, right? Like look into the history of your collaborators and try to respect that, try to enhance them and maybe advance their careers at the same time. And I think that could definitely drive the economy of our industry, but also just the well-being in general of each and every single person within that industry. So as we wrap things up, I have two more bonus questions for you that I ask all of my guests here on the show. And it's just to take away everything from, you know, the work part of this episode, but really go into your personal kind of like opinions about it. And the first one is, after all of this, you've been in the industry, the photography industry, for about, I think 2014 was the first time you got into it. So it's about 7 years, close to 8 years now. What has been the biggest one lesson that you have learned so far?
It was not a surprising lesson, but I think the biggest lesson is you should never stop improving your skills. I mean, if you expected some shocking revelation, then it's going to make you disappointed, but because didn't come as a surprise. I know this from the dancing side, but it's the same for photographers. If you want to be good, and if you want to do justice to yourself and your models, you have to keep learning and just be better and better. It never stops.
Hey, simplicity is the most sophisticated, right? So I love that. And I think that is such a basic principle that everyone, regardless of your training, your profession, should have. So I have that too. And it's the hardest thing to learn is to constantly keep learning, right? So final question for you, Sabina, is what makes a dancer for you personally?
Probably there could be short and long answers, and probably the long would be like a series of lots of podcasts. So I think I think what makes a dancer for me is the passion for dance for me. When I see them being passionate about being a dancer, I think those are the real, and it doesn't matter how old they are, but when you just see the sparkles in their eyes, even the young children or completely like grown-up people, and you see that they just love what they do, for me that's what makes someone a dancer, not necessarily the training, the abilities, their profession, who they work with, but the passion for dance.
Wow, I love that. Once again, it's all about the simplicity of life itself. Now, I want to just finish this episode with one of the quotes that you have so conveniently provided for us through your website, which is the Color Carnival project that you were doing. And it was a quote by Georgia O'Keeffe, right, saying that, "I found I could say things with color and shape that I could not say in any other way." And that does not encapsulate dance much better. That is exactly what we do and how we have approached this art form. Sometimes you just don't need to say it. Just show it, just do it. And I love that. And I think dance photography really helps dancers extend that expression. So thank you so much, Sabina, for your respect, firstly, for the industry, for your humility, and mostly for your generosity. And I think I just am so delighted to have you on this show, and thank you for giving so much value to all our listeners.
Thank you so much for inviting me, and just continue the good work you do. I have the most amazing amount of respect to the work you do, and hopefully this podcast will get to more and more people.
My guest today has been Sabina Biro, a London-based dance photographer, and we discussed the crossovers and experiences of working with dance models, fashion models, and what are the crossovers of dance, fashion, as well as creative portraiture. For more information regarding this episode, you can check out the show notes below or visit backgrounddancer.com/S1E23. That's Background Dancer with two Ds and Season 1, episode 23. Do also reach out to me and let me know some of your favorite dance fashion, dance modeling, dance photography moments throughout your experiences within the arts, and I would love to connect with you on that. Thank you so much once again. Appreciate your time. Have a wonderful week ahead, and I'll see you in the next one. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. Be sure to subscribe, comment, and leave a review on your designated podcast and social media platforms. If you found this interesting or helpful, feel free to share with members of your community so that they too may connect with us in our quest to foreground dance in the background. I'm Jason Yup of The Background Dancer, and as always, catch you next time. If you're listening to this, you are most definitely a dance enthusiast, maybe even one for dance science. Well, why not join the International Association for Dance Medicine and Science, or IADEMS for short, and become part of a global community dedicated to supporting dancers and performers worldwide. With active members from over 50 countries, including experts in dance, medicine, and science, IADEMS provides a diverse network of support and resources. As a member, you'll gain access to exclusive benefits such as discounts to year-round events, their vast collection of e-learning opportunities, and a subscription to the Journal of Dance Medicine and Science, amongst other incredible and unique offers. Join the mission for better outcomes and apply for an IADEMS membership today. Click the link in the descriptions below for more info.